recorded the message. They said, we want to hear you preaching too. So I'm going to try to get that going there. But it is a blessing to be here. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. If y'all want to turn there. And y'all, I tell you, we are so excited to be here. And y'all have already treated us so good. But we are staying in a place. It's such a blessing to be there. And I just could go on and on about how good the Lord is. We're having too much fun. I didn't put enough sunblock on today, and we got out there in the water, and me and Shiloh, we're real light complected, and so I got a little bit extra sun. So we having lots of fun. But y'all, it's good for your mind, and you can think. And so I just can't be thankful enough for how good y'all have been to us and provided for us already. And we just love y'all, Brother Ken, you and Sister Amy. Y'all just so good to us. And we just thank you for your friendship. And this is just really a blessing to us. We want to be a blessing to y'all, but really y'all been such a blessing to us. I just hope and pray that y'all get a help out of this message tonight. Now, I talk a whole lot, so I'm going to try to stay on subject. And I love the Bible. We're going to go over several Bible verses. So we're going to pick up the reading in Ephesians chapter 2. If y'all want to stand for a few verses, stretch your legs before we get going here. I want to read a few verses out of Ephesians 2, and we're going to jump around in this book. And maybe we'll get some help here tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you will, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And verse 2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, if we could, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do need you now. Lord, I can't do anything without you, Lord, and sure don't want to. Father, please help these hearers here tonight. Lord, I pray that your words would be receptive tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just work on these hearts. Lord, I don't know anything. Lord, only you know what's going on there. And Lord, convict where conviction's needed and comfort where comfort's needed. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us here tonight as only you're able. And we're looking to thee, Lord. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to y'all about a subject. I read a book several years ago by a martyr named Watchman Nee. And he wrote a book. This is just a short book. I'm going to say around anywhere from 50 to 80 pages. It's been a long time since I've read it now. But the name of that book is Sit, Walk, Stand. And it has to do with the Christian life. And this sermon is kind of based off of that book. And it's a pattern that's found throughout the Bible. And hopefully we'll look at this tonight. But it has to do with how you're going to have to serve the Lord. And there's a proper way to serving the Lord. And one thing I think that people kind of get off kilter a little bit is because they don't see some of these things in the Bible. And once you get this down, I think it really helps you in your service to God. So maybe tonight this thing will help you. And talking about sitting around, I heard a story one time. This pastor went out and he was going to invite this farmer to church. And this farmer was known, you know, not to go to church. He says, you know, he's saved. And he said, you know, he's just very busy and things. So the farmer goes down to ask him. He said, look, now we'd like to see you come to church, you know, and like to see you come visit and hear some preaching, you know. And he's sitting on a hay bale and he said, well, I just don't intend on going. And he said, well, why not, man, if you don't mind me asking? He said, well, I just figure it's better for me to be sitting on this hay bale thinking about church instead of sitting in church thinking about this hay bale. And a lot of times we get that, you know, you think, well, I just sit around and do that. That's not the kind of seating that we're talking about here. There's a certain thing that we're seeing here in this text, and when we start in chapter 2, he tells us that once you're saved by grace, he's made you to sit together with him in heavenly places. You're as good as in heaven whenever you are saved. That's eternal security, and that's not a Baptist doctrine, that's Bible doctrine. Okay, now you got the type. Let's start off with Genesis. You got types all through the Bible and pictures and illustrations of things. And you got the 6 days, the Lord's making things all through that Bible. And here he is, he makes man on the sixth day. And you think, well, the Lord sure has done a whole lot. It's an interesting thing. He made him on the sixth day. And then the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 2, on the seventh day, God rested. So Adam's made on day six, but Adam's first day is a day of rest. He don't work on that first day. He rests on the first day. Well, he's already made, but then his first thing to do is to rest. Now, whenever you are saved and you place your faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. He says, in whom all after that ye believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So once you believe the Lord Jesus Christ has died and he was buried and he rose again, he shed his blood for you, and you came to him a lost sinner, undone, and headed to hell without God, and you place your faith and trust in the gospel there, mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Once you do that, you are seated together with him in heavenly places, sealed. Amen. Now, that's secure. Now, once you see that thing, that's your position in Christ, and your position in Christ is a secure position, and so you're seated. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We'll go over several verses together. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, so you've already, you know, those tags, you see those tags on the front of those cards that I'm blessed. You're already blessed. If I don't get another blessing, I've already got blessings in Christ, in heavenly places where no one else can destroy. I can't even mess it up my own self. That's your position in Christ. Now, you got to get that thing. Why? Because if you don't start off right there where you're seating, your walk is not going to be right. And if your walk's not right, your standing is not going to be right. Now, the next verse talks about how we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay, the being chosen in him, that's your seating, that's your standing. And you're not chosen until you're in him. Why? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 42, Christ is the elect. And you're not elect until you're in him. And you're not in him until you've trusted what he did for you on the cross. But then there's a second part of that. Yes, I'm seated with him. But then the second part is that we should be holy and without blame. Okay, that's your service. Your seating comes first. Your service comes second. Look, I'm not serving for acceptance. I'm serving from acceptance. I'm already accepted in the beloved. Amen. You have to get that down. And if a Christian don't get that down, you're going to be wondering, well, am I saved today? Am I really saved? Are you really saved? You know, you get some of these pastors and they get up here and tell, well, so-and-so's really saved. Like some people part saved. Look, you're either saved or you're not. Amen. It's no in-between. It's no making. It's no maybe. Once you get saved, you're saved. And here, look, you're so secure. Look, I'm not saying don't go out here and do anything. The whole rest of the sermon is going to be talking about doing things. But if I don't do another thing, I'm saved. Amen. If I stop serving, if I stop preaching, I don't do another thing for the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of my life, I'm already saved and I'm going to heaven. Why? Because as far as my standing with Christ, I'm already seated there. He considers you there. Why? Because I'm joined to him. Okay, now once you get that, then we can get this other part. Now the other part has to do with this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:9, the Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Okay, his foundation's always going to be sure. He says, having this seal, what? I'm sealed. He said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's one side of that seal. So he knows you. Okay, and then it says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You're sealed, you're seated, but then your walk has to do with you, if you're saying you're a Christian, to depart from iniquity. Amen. It's not your salvation, that's your service. You're sealed, but your service has to do with after you are saved, your service is what you do because you know that you're seated. I'm serving from my seated position, not to try to get that seated position. You have to get that down first, and if Christians don't get that down first, you're in a bad, bad state. Now, I do want to say this. There are some people who suffer all kinds of sickness, and some people, they lay up in hospital beds, and they would love to serve, and they can't serve. I read about one lady, she was sick, and she said this, all that God requires from me now is to lie here and cough. Right now, that's all she can do. Some people, that's literally all they can do. And guess what? She's just as much right with God, laying there in that sick bed, coughing and praising God in all things. That's just as she's going to get just much reward for somebody else that somebody else is going to do. You got to get that thing. Why? Some people are laying there. They'd love to be here tonight, and they can't be here tonight. Some people would love to be able to do some of the things you can do, and they can't do it. And guess what? The Bible says they got a minister they can do. Praise God in all things, not for all things. Let me tell you, this preacher right here, when I get sick, I don't say, thank you, God, for this sickness. I'm far from that, but I guess what I can do, I can praise God while I'm sick. Amen. In the sickness, not for the sickness. Amen. And some of these folks, they're way more spiritual than I'll ever be, I guess. Look, when I get a flat tire, and I'd say I've had one a long time, I hope I don't, but when something happens, especially when I used to work for the post office, some kind of crazy, Lord help me, I don't want to say nothing bad, but people are crazy. I didn't say, Lord, thank you that I just had that confrontation. I can thank God in it. And thank God that, Lord, I didn't yield to the old man and get out there and put that man on his haircut. Why? Because that's what the old man wants to do. But you have to be careful about that stuff. Why? You have to say, Lord, okay, I'm saved. Now that I know I'm with you, I wouldn't lose my salvation if I'd done something, but I want to serve you correctly from a seated position. Lord, help me. I need your help. And if you'll rely on him, he'll help you. But if you don't, you'll yield to that old man. And before long, you're going out here doing things you ought not do. And see, there's a heavenly seating, but there's an earthly service. Watch this. You got salvation's not of works. Watch this. Well, look at verse 9, Ephesians 2, verse 9. The Bible says, y'all know it's of faith, and it's not of yourself, the gift of God. Look at verse 9. Not of works. Nothing you can do can get you saved. Nothing you can do to make you lose your salvation either. Okay, lest any man should boast. But watch this. It's not of works. Your salvation's not of works. But guess what? Service has works to it. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's not of works, but he said it's created. You're created there unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in it. There's some things that you should do, even though you don't do them. You know you should do them. Now that word ordained right there, if you want to look at the definition of that thing, one of the best verses there is Psalm 7, verses 11 to 13. You don't have to turn there, but it talks about the arrows of the Lord being prepared, and it said they ordained in the same verse over there. That means ordained has to do with preparing something. That don't mean God's going to force you to do anything. God's not going to force you to do anything. You got this world now, and they just are crazy about things. You know, so much good and the worst of us, so much bad and the best of us. It doesn't behoove any of us to say anything about the rest of us. You've got all that. You can get the wrong viewpoint on anything. You know what the thing is? The devil can't make you be bad, and God won't make you be good. It's up to you to serve from your seated position, saying, okay, I'm here, I'm seated with Christ, I want to do something about it. You know what's wrong? Well, I don't know about your generation. I know my generation. They're so lazy. They're so lazy. Things aren't getting done. Amen. Well, I'm seated. I'm sitting here. And you know, I got this hand. Yeah, hey, God did give you a gift. And yes, it was a handout he gave to you. But now that you've got the gift, do something with the gift. Amen. Okay? So let's see some of these things. I want to read a verse to you out of Acts. You don't have to turn there. But I want you to hold your place in Ephesians. And let's look at an Old Testament illustration of this seated position. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Now, while you're turning to 2 Samuel 9, I want to read a verse to you that has to do with a seated position and a service position all in one place. Acts 27:23. While y'all are turning there, the Apostle Paul said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am." There's a seated position right there. He said, "I'm the Lord's, whose I am, and whom I serve." You're seated, you got to serve from your seated position. He says, "Whose I am," that's got to come first. Then he said, "Whose I serve," that's got to come second. The problem is a lot of people, they get the "whose I am" part without the "whom I serve" part. We've got to get this thing down. Well, if not, it's going to mess up your service. And yes, you're in a seated position, but you're not going to serve the way you ought to serve. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 9, here's a good illustration of a seated position. Now, let me tell you what's going on in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. There is a man here by the name of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, however you pronounce the thing, what happened is, if you'll read 2 Samuel chapter 4, he had a fall because his daddy was Saul, or Jonathan rather. Okay, so Jonathan and David were friends. And whenever David took over the kingdom, Mephibosheth's nurse took him up, and he failed to really, you know, it was the fault of another, but because of that, he failed and he was lame on his feet. So his walk was no good. That's a picture of how we are. I wasn't around when Adam fell, but guess what? Because he fell, here I am in a fallen position. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ coming to do something about it, I would be no good. I wouldn't be able to be his friend, and I wouldn't be able to be seated with him. So David sends Ziba down. He said, "I want to show someone in the house of Saul kindness for Jonathan's sake." And so guess what happens? He shows Mephibosheth kindness for the sake of another. That's what we're getting in our salvation. Look, God's not kind to you because of something you did. He's kind to you because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. And if you don't get that thing, it'll cause you to be arrogant. Look, we don't have anything, and if it's not by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to have anything worth anything. Amen. You're sitting in them pews breathing his air. Amen. This is his church. Amen. People say, "My church, this, that, and other." It better be God's church. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ's church. Now, you know what you're doing? We're sitting here, and yes, we're seated, but I want you to see the service is connected to a seated position. God says, our David, he's a picture of Jesus Christ, and he goes down and gets Mephibosheth. Look at this. 2 Samuel 9, verse 6. "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Behold thy servant.'" Now watch this. So here he is with a servant's heart, but watch what he's doing. Look at verse 13. "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table." He's seated at the king's table, and the Bible says, "and was lame on both his feet." He's sitting there at David's table. David invited him. He didn't do any good works or nothing to get there. It was all by grace. He's seated at the table by grace, but he says he's a servant. Why? From a seated position. The appreciation comes from the fact that he didn't do anything to deserve it. He was down there in a loaded bar, going nowhere and doing nothing. And David said, "I want you to go down there because of Jonathan and get him, and I want to do something with him. I want him to sit at my table continually." You know what that means? That's a picture of our seated, sealed position, firm in heaven. Amen. Then he gets to do something. Why? Because he's seated there at that table. No works at all. Now you got to get that thing right there. Why? Because if you don't realize you are eternally secure in Christ, a preacher can get up there and take your salvation from you, and you won't even realize. Why? They get up there and preach all this stuff and retread you and all this. Let me tell you something. When that Bible says over in Romans 8, and it says, "Neither any creature can separate you from the love of Christ," I got in the margin of my Bible, "neither any preacher." Why? Because I've heard them, man. I've heard them get up there, and you need to really do this and really do this other thing. You need to really be saved. And the only salvation comes from trusting Jesus and nothing else. Amen. Nothing else. Then you can serve right. Now that you're seated and you know that there's nothing you could have done to be there, and you don't have anything to do to deserve it, you're ready to serve right, then the walk comes next. Amen. And not until you get that position next. Now when you get to Ephesians and chapter number 4, and you get your seated position correct in your mind and in your heart, The Bible tells you, you need in Ephesians 4 to walk worthy. And look, he doesn't tell you to walk until chapter 4 after he's given you three chapters of doctrine. And then some people, then they go too far and they overcorrect the other way. And they say, well, we just doctrine, doctrine, doctrine all the time. Yeah, but the first two letters of doctrine is do.
Amen.
You got to do something about what you've learned. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, I learned something. Now I need to put into practice what I've learned in my daily life. And it has to do with my walk, and it's a steady walk. And some people take a little longer to grow than others. Some people have walked this far, and some people haven't walked but this far. And some people tripped and fell here, and they need some help to get back up and walk worthy of the vocation. Why? Because he tells you, ye are called there. What? He wants you to walk. People say, I'm called to this, called to that, called to that. Why don't you just walk worthy of the vocation you're called? And guess what? You walk in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another. And guess what? The right road will lead to the right place.
Amen.
People guessing when they need to go here. And guess when they, where am I going to be next month? Where am I going to be? Just walk with the Lord and let him lead you where he wants you to go. It's so easy to get ahead of ourselves in this thing, man. You walk worthy of the vocation. You say, what's my job? Walking worthy of the vocation where you've called. And you know what he's saying to walk in? With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Okay, you want to know what? Try to apply that there daily and see if that's not tough right there. Walk one another with long suffering. That means suffering long with one another. We get on one another's nerves, man.
Amen.
That's just part of the Christian walk. People say, well, so-and-so's mad, and this other person, he made me mad about this. That's just part of life. Why? You want rewards in heaven. You want to sit around, not do anything, and not talk to anybody. And you get up there in heaven, and the Lord said, well, you didn't suffer long with anybody. I told you, if you want to walk worthy of the vocation, you're going to have to suffer long. You stayed in the house all day. You see that? He's trying to help you. People say, man, I need some of these rough edges. I get a little rough around the edges. Okay, we're going to put some other people around your path, and they're going to be sandpaper to you. That's just the way things work, man.
Yes.
You know, it's rubbed me the wrong way. Okay, well, they're sandpaper. You need some of them edges rubbed off of you. You might be sandpaper to somebody else. You thought about that? See, we think everybody else gets on our nerve. You don't realize you get on their nerves too. I just don't like the way they talk. They don't like your tone of voice either. When I was younger, I thought everybody liked me. And you get older and you realize not everybody likes you. It'll hurt your feelings sometimes if you allow it. So anyway, he's telling you, watch this, Ephesians 4 verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. People wonder why they ain't got no peace. I wonder why I ain't got no peace here or there. Because you stopped the endeavoring. It's an endeavor.
Amen.
It's not going to be easy. He tells you right here, you got to suffer long, and it's going to be an endeavor. Why? The unity, the Spirit is always in unity anyhow. It's going to be an endeavor for you to stay full of the Spirit so you can keep the peace that only the Spirit of God can give. They blame this and blame that other one there. Well, whose fault is it if there's not unity in a place? Only by pride cometh contention. That's what Paul and Barnabas suppose there. Yeah, okay, well, Paul and Barnabas, two good men. That don't mean that they weren't, at that point, they weren't right with the Lord. The Bible says the contention was so sharp between them. I don't care how much you say both of them love the Lord. They still, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. So there was pride somewhere. Okay, I got it. Wow, we all mess up. But it's going to be an endeavor. If you're going to walk right, you're going to have to walk. That's our life in the world. And we read these verses right here, but it's a spiritual walk. Why? It's a unity of the Spirit. So guess what? We can be absent from one another sometimes. And Paul said, I'll be with you in the Spirit in Colossians 2 verse 5. Sometimes I can be with Brother Ken even though I'm about 6 or 7 hours away. Well, ain't that a blessing right there? Why? Because God's got that thing so fixed, it's like water. Do you know that water on a mountaintop and the water in the valley has the same elements in it, even though they're that far apart? That's how we keep the unity of the Spirit. Some of you may be on the mountaintop, some of you in the valley, but guess what? When you got the Spirit of God in you, you can still relate to one another. That's why we need each other to help each other. We've got to have these church families. We're talking about that church family. I don't know what we'd do without our church. I thank God for our church family and other church families like this. Why? Because you're going to go through hard times sometime, and you're going to need each other.
Amen.
It's amazing how everybody wants to live like the world and die like a Christian. They want to live like everybody else out there in the world and do everything else the world did, and they die. They want to get a guy to get up there and say, "Hey, man, wasn't he wonderful?" No, he wasn't. You know, he really wasn't. Why? Because people want people. Well, it's my loved one. They get up here. Okay, well, I hadn't seen them in years and years and years. They come up here and here's the funeral, and they want you to get up there and just brag on them. Brag. I get up there and preach the gospel to them. But I don't know what man. I don't know what he done. I don't know his testimony. You see this thing right here? There's a reason you got a church family. Part of it's being a testimony with each other. So you know one another. Do you know the best thing you can do for your loved one is to trust Jesus Christ? That way when they know you're down there in that casket and every one of the rapture don't happen, every one of us is heading there. Best thing you can do is trust Christ and live a good testimony around for your loved one so they know when you're in that casket. They know where you're at.
Amen.
You go to a funeral of a lost person, completely different from a funeral from somebody saved. It's completely different. Man, I've heard them sit there and sob and cry and moan. Why, they're like David was with Absalom. He knew he wasn't going to see him again. That's why he sobbed like he did. We need to be saved and other people know that you're saved. Why? Because we're going to die one day. And that unity of the Spirit can help. So it's a spiritual walk, but it's a sacrificial walk. In chapter 5, verse number 2, he tells you, that walk in love, how are we going to walk in love? If we're going to walk in love and have this unity of the Spirit, how are we going to do this? It says, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, how does Christ, says Christ hath loved us. The Bible says he loved us when we were unlovable. You just don't know how they are to me. Well, you don't know how you are to Jesus Christ. You think about how you treat Jesus Christ. And I'm not here trying to stomp on you. I'm really not. But I want you to think for a minute. We're so rough on other folks in the church, and we're so rough on one another. We are rougher on people that sit right here in these pews with each other than we are out there with mean folks out there in the world. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and loves you, has grace on you. Well, you don't. So and so believes this. You wouldn't believe what they'd done so and so many years ago, and all this type. You wouldn't believe what you did so many years ago. And the Lord's letting you breathe His air still. Yes. Gives you a roof over your head and food to eat and everything else. Well, all I'm eating is green beans and rice. Okay, well you still got something.
Amen.
Man, we're mean. He says there's a sweet smelling savor. Now, if you think about that. That is good, a good smell to the senses of God the Father to see people walk in love toward each other. Now, if you follow that thing through in the Bible, I looked at that thing. One of it's right over here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, where Epaphroditus, here's a man that brought some supplies sent to Paul from someone else. Now, the Lord likes it when you supply someone else with what you've been supplied of Him. He gives you something, and with the supply you get from Him spiritually, you pass that thing on, and the Lord loves it. That is a sweet-smelling savior. Look, if you cannot give what you don't have.
That's right.
You've got to go to the Lord by the fruit of the Spirit and get love so you can give love.
Yeah.
Well, you say, I just can't love so-and-so. I can't like them. Maybe you're not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit then. Why? Because God will cause you to be able to love somebody who's unlovable. He didn't say you love them. He said you let Him love them through you. You got joy. What's wrong with your joy? You've lost your strength, haven't you? Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know what the devil tries to do? He tries to draw that stuff from you. Why? So you won't have the strength you need to do the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. You got to love first, then joy will give you the strength. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You wonder why you don't have the rest of it. If you don't get past the first two, I believe they're in that order for a reason. Guess what's going on? You're going to lose your strength. And before long, once you lose your love and your joy, you're not going to have peace.
Amen.
You can't have peace without joy. Okay, so what's going on? You get the supply from the Lord. And you say, Lord, I need to have joy in this situation. Why? Because things are crazy. Lord, you wouldn't believe all this junk going on, everything, all this stuff, like this world, all this stuff's going on. And guess what? The Christian is supposed to be able to have peace in this situation. Why? Because even though it looks from a flesh standpoint like nothing good could come out of it, how could anything good come out of it? And the Lord said, hold on just a minute. I thought I was the Prince of Peace. I had control of everything. And once you realize He's in control, you get the peace, and then you start manifesting peace around other people around you. But you're not going to get it without the Lord. That's a sweet smelling savor to watch the Lord let you yield to His Son work them things out through you that you couldn't do on your own. I'm here to tell you today, you can't do it on your own. You got a problem. And until you see you can't walk the walk of the Spirit on your own without the power of the Lord working in and through you, you're never going to do it. Why? You'll stay in that seated position and say, well, I'm seated, and you're not going to do anything. Now, when you look through Leviticus, you don't have to turn there, but Leviticus chapter 1, verses 9, 13, 17, that same phrase, sweet-smelling savor, that comes up. And what that is, essentially, that's as God looks at this sacrifice, which is offered in payment of a debt owed to Him. So in the Old Testament, they could sacrifice, and God would offer in that time that sacrifice as a payment based on Him knowing in His mind, His foreknowledge of knowing that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and He would offer those sacrifices based on the fact He knew Jesus Christ was going to come shed that blood one of these days. And here's the Lord saying, I'm offering this thing. It's a sweet smelling savor to Me. Now, when you read Ephesians chapter 5, you look up here in verse number 5 and 3, 4 and 5, all these sins and stuff like this. You read about all these terrible sins that people make out like they don't do. But then you get to verse number 6 and it says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know what He's saying? Those things that He mentioned above, they cry out for the violence of God. They cry out for the consequences of the flesh reaping that violence of God on the sin of that flesh. And they cry out for judgment. So you know what He's saying? That Bible's telling you, you need to love one another as Christ loved. Because if not, before long, you're going to be acting like the world. And before long, you're doing all these things like the world. And guess what? That thing calls out for violence from God on the flesh, not your soul saved. But you don't think Galatians 6:8 teaches you that you can reap in the flesh. It does not say you're going to reap in your soul. Your soul saved, but you shall of the flesh reap corruption and things. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11, He says some of you are sick and some of you weak and some of you sleep. Why? Because people wasn't judging themselves. You know what people do? They judge others. Let me tell you how you tell if it's God or the devil. God will judge sin in you. Genesis chapter 3, the Lord comes up there and said, what did you do? Y'all transgressed against the commandment that I told you to do. And Adam says, hold on just a minute. He's speaking by the devil. And he says, hold on, the woman done it. And the woman says, hold on. No, the serpent told me. You know how you can tell if it's God or the devil? The God Himself will convict you of your sin.
Amen.
And the devil will convict you of other people's sin. That's what the devil does. So you know what you have to do? You have to get in your place where you will judge your own self and love others as Christ has loved you. And Christ had mercy on you. And Christ had grace on you. Because if not, guess what happened? God don't smell that sweet smelling savor. And you know what happens? We're not putting the flesh down. You're starting to live in the flesh. And before long, you've got it all backwards in your life. I don't really have time for this, but I want to show you this. That Bible tells you in 1 Thessalonians 5, I believe it's verse 23, Paul said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless on the coming of our Lord. He puts it in perspective. Spirit's first, soul second, body last. Watch these sins. Look at Ephesians 5, verse number 3. The Bible says, but fornication, that's body, and all uncleanness. Remember reading the Old Testament about the soul unclean? Unclean, that's soul. Or covetousness, that spirit. Why? Because all covetousness is idolatry, and it has to do with your worship. You've got it backwards now. See, they're sinning. They got the order backwards. Look at down here at verse 5. For this ye know that no whoremonger, that's body, nor unclean person, soul, nor covetous man, that's worship, because covetousness is idolatry. They got it backwards, see. You know what happens to you? You get to the place where you don't start loving each other, and you don't start putting God first by loving your neighbor. And you know what happens? You get that thing wrong. And before long, you're doing things that you never thought you'd do. People say, I don't do that. You know what happens to you? It starts off little. The devil's not going to start you off real big. He's going to start you off, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to get in your car, and you're going to say, I tell you what, old so-and-so made me mad. Now you're backbiting a little bit. No big deal. Then before long, you start talking, and it starts festering a little bit and stuff like that. Now you got some hatred and some emulation. And you know what happens? You start reverting backwards. And the Bible says there's babes in Christ. You know what that is? That's strife and divisions. Now you're in the devil's territory. Why? Because the devil divides to conquer. You know how you can always tell if it's the devil there? He'll start dividing you off. Why? So he can get you. You know one of the saddest things is for him to divide people out and get them away from their good old church family. And you know what he does? He gets them over there by themselves where he can get them discouraged and get you out there by yourself. You see out there in that Bible, every time somebody gets out there by themselves, get there alone. You know when David messed up real big, he was out there by himself. He's on that rooftop by himself. You better watch out being alone all the time. You know, this world's got everybody behind these computer screens all the time. Everybody, and all this stuff, they can do everything in private. You know what's happened? He's done got you out by yourself. That's why you have to come and be around other like-minded believers.
Amen.
You say, well, coming to church, is it serious? Look, church don't save you, but let me tell you what it do. It'll save your testimony.
Amen.
It's good for you to know, I need to go back up here so-and-so. I know I'm fixing to be back up here, and they're going to see my face. They're going to see my countenance next Sunday. Why? It gives you a little bit of accountability. Knowing other people are praying for you and people can see things going on. Hey, you're not looking too good. It's something we need to pray about. It's not that they're being nosy. They want to help you. You know what happens? You get that thing off kilter, and before long, that flesh cries out. And you know what happens? Here's the thing. You get over there in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and David has that thing by himself. He gets up there by himself, and he has that whole sin with Bathsheba. And you know what happens? Nathan comes up there and Nathan says, thou art the man. Y'all may be familiar with the whole story. He says, thou art the man. You know what David said? David said, I have sinned. And you know what happens? Nathan said, your sin is forgiven you. So here he is in fellowship. He's walking with the Lord now. But guess what he don't do? God don't take the consequences. God will forgive you. You're forgiven in Christ. You can walk with the Lord. You can go back to... But don't think he's going to take the consequences. See what people do? They want to get out of fellowship with the Lord and they get out here and do all these things and they want to come back and say, Lord, but erase all that. Let me tell you something. God, you can go right back to walking with God and you can go right back to reading your Bible and praying, and God would love for you to do that. He wants to walk with you, but he's not going to take them consequences in the flesh. That's a scary thing. You can't erase that stuff. And then we blame God for all this stuff that goes on. He's saying, I've told you in the Word how I want you to walk this thing serious. Yeah, you're seated there. That's good. But the walk has to come. Now, not only that, but it's a separated walk. I want you to see this thing here. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now, it says, are ye light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. Okay, so now what he's saying is, don't walk like darkness does. He said the children of disobedience, they're walking in darkness. He says, I want you to walk in light. Now, you go back over there, there's an illustration of that in the Old Testament. Sure is. In Genesis chapter 13, Abraham and what? Lot, here they are, they're kinfolk. They walking together. Everything's wonderful. And all of a sudden, their herdmen start arguing together. And Abraham realizes something. He said, you know what? This is going to be a bad testimony around the other folks that don't really know the Lord. Lot, whichever way you want to go, you go, I'll go the other way. Don't matter which way. You just pick it. So Lot looks with his eyes and sees, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. And he looks down and he said, well, that looks well watered down there. I think I'll go down there and just live it easy. See, comfortable. Instead of battling, instead of serving the Lord and leaning on the Lord, he said, man, that looks good. That's comfortable down there. I go, what's comfortable? You know what happens with people? They do what's comfortable. Amen. That comfortable life will kill you. It sure will. There are things in this earth that's just not comfortable, man. Some of the things that's kept us in prayer and kept us close to the Lord and stuff has just been uncomfortable times.
Amen.
I hate that it's like that. I hate that my flesh is like that. But sometimes when it gets uncomfortable and things get hard and, you know, just hard times come, you get on your knees before God and say, God, I recognize I need you. And Lord, I need your help. Amen. So Abraham separates off and guess what? Here he is in chapter 14.
He's to the place because he's been living separated. When Lot gets in trouble, he's able to take his soldiers and he serves from a better position because he had separated off and he had been walking with the Lord and he was prepared to help somebody. Y'all, this world right here is not walking. It's separated. So it's up to the remnant, the believing, what believers out there left, for you to walk with the Lord and walk from that seated position knowing, hey, I'm secure, but because I'm secure, I want to walk every single day. God's there to help me if I fall, but I want to keep walking. That way I'm strong enough in my walk when someone else falls, I can pick them up. Well, whenever they fall, here you are, instead of just being a discouragement to them, you're right, man, this thing, I just can't believe what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen next couple of days and all this stuff. Guess what? Both of you get depressed together. Bunch of friends of Job out there, man, miserable comforters you are. You see this thing? We don't want to be like that. I got this one lady, she's a nice lady, but she walks by my shop, and every time, me and Carla laugh about it. I say, I tried to cheer her up today. She'll walk by the shop, and I say, beautiful day today. She said, you ain't going to believe it. Friday, it's going to pour down raining. Well, what are you going to do about that? You see, we don't need to be like that. We need to be the place where we're walking with the Lord, recognizing, hey, Lord, I know that you're able to help me through anything that comes my way. And if somebody else gets in a bad shape, I want to be strong enough to help them. But it's not going to come unless you're walking with the Lord. You're living a separated life, and you're not going to live separated unless you're walking in the light. Okay, well, how are you walking in the light? Thy word is a lamp on my feet and a light under my path. It's constantly checking this Bible every single day and saying, God, am I walking in the light? Well, I want to check this verse right here and check my mind with the Bible and make sure what my mind's thinking is in line with the Word of God. That's how important it is to read the Bible. When I was younger, I said, why is the preacher saying every single Sunday, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible? Don't he know I need to read the Bible when I get up in the morning and I don't read the Bible? You know what that is? He's saying you need to check it, you need to check it, and you need to check it. Why? Because we just sang the song, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the Lord, the God I love. We're prone to it. You got to keep reminding yourself, reminding yourself, reminding yourself why. You're in a battle, man. He's put all these things in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is preparing you for what he's about to tell you in the last thing, and he's coming to the conclusion of you are in a battle. And some people don't even realize. You imagine going up there in the battlefield just with your hand. You imagine here's a battle out here and just say, I'm just fixing to walk on this battlefield and my helmet's around backwards. You know, it's got my armor halfway on, stuff like that. Get out here and then you wonder why you get hurt. Why? Because you weren't even prepared anyway. Hadn't been practicing with your sword, hadn't been praying, nothing. No communication. You don't even know how to get on your walkie-talkie and talk to anybody. You don't know none of the codes or nothing. You get out there in the battle and get shot and say, Lord, it's your fault. Lord's like, hold on just a minute. I had your field manual down. You hadn't even read the manual. It wasn't out on the battlefield. You got to walk. He's saying, walk with me. I'll show you if you'll walk. Okay, now that you're walking, you got to stand. You got to stand. I heard one preacher, I wish I could give him credit for it, but he said, sometimes you are not ready to go forward until you're willing to stand. You got to be willing to stand. You ever thought about this? What are you standing for anyway? You standing for your own opinion? You standing for God? Okay, it's got to be standing in His strength. I want to give you an Old Testament illustration of standing in His strength. Turn to Judges chapter 7. Judges 7. I hope I ain't boring you too bad. We're getting close. But man, I tell you what, this Bible, man, it's wonderful. Just wonderful. Judges chapter 7. I want you to see this thing about this standing, and hopefully we can drill this home about this. You got to be seated, secure, then you walk, and then you can stand. Okay. So you get over here in Judges chapter number 7. I'm going to keep my place over in Ephesians where I can turn back and forth a little bit. Man, I'll tell you what, the Bible's a fun book. It is not boring. The Bible is fun. All right, you get over here in Judges 7, and you got to stand in His strength, His strength. First of all, He knew they had around 30,000 soldiers here, and the Lord knew that if He allowed them to go down there with that many soldiers, according to verse number 2 at the bottom of the verse, they'd be saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So first of all, they're going to have to go in the strength of the Lord, because God's going to whittle them down enough to where they know there was no way it was them. They know it was God. You know what God allowed you to do sometimes? God will allow you to get into a fix where you know you didn't get yourself out. God got you out. And sometimes that's a good... It was a good thing, because he knew Moses was going to have to lead those people in that wilderness. It was a good thing that he didn't let Moses do it any other way other than get down there. And they knew Moses couldn't split the sea. And Moses get down there and put that rod in that sea, and that thing split. They knew that was God and not Moses. Amen. Well, you know what? Sometimes you're going to get in your life and realize only God can do it. You don't see a way out? Okay, well, that's a good thing then. Now, you know, whenever you get out of it, God got you out of it. You didn't do it by your own wit, your own wisdom. So there's your standing right there in His strength. But I want you to see the pattern here, this sit, walk, and stand in the battle that's a spiritual battle that you can't fight it unless you fight it God's way. God whittled them down here. I want you to see here the first thing in Judges chapter 7. I want you to see here. I want you to see the seated part here. Judges 7, it says in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise." Now here he was. He had to be seated because he told him to arise. So here's Gideon, and Gideon is ready to fight, but he's seated first. Why? Because you know that as far as him being seated, he was seated securely, because he told him at the bottom of the verse, "For I have delivered into thine hand." It's as good as done. You know what? Your salvation, you are as good as in heaven. Just like that battle in the mind of God was as good as won. They hadn't even fought the battle yet, and he said, "I've already delivered into your hand." He said, "Arise." He's seated there. Now you get on down a little bit there. I want you to see that he had to walk. Why? Because he already had the promise of deliverance, just like you've got the promise there in Ephesians 1:13 and 2:6. Then in verse 9 he says, "Arise, get thee down unto the host." There's his walk right there. You got to get down, and he tells you to walk. He says, "Now you've been seated, you're secure, I've told you you're going to win. Now, I want you to walk." But you know what happens? A lot of times we get to walking with the Lord. And I don't know if y'all are anything like me. But sometimes, even though I've been walking with the Lord, I'll lose my confidence. Why? Because I forget about my seated position. I forget about all those spiritual blessings. I forget about how good God been to me. And how many prayers He has answered. You think about how many prayers He's answered for this church already. And then we doubt Him. Okay, would you say, well, you want to watch him doubt God in his seated position, and God told him, "I'm going to deliver it." Well, watch your own self be in this story right here. It says, verse 10, "But if thou fear to go down, go thou with fear of thy servant down to the host." You see how we need each other. Fear of, as far as my concordance, I couldn't find his name mentioned but twice in the Bible in these two texts right here, and he's never mentioned again. That's how a lot of folks are. There's a lot of silent people helping you along the way. They really don't get much recognition, but you wouldn't have went down and done it if it wasn't for them anyhow. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of wives don't get a lot of recognition, and a lot of Gideons wouldn't have went down without fear. There's a lot of people out there that wouldn't have done it. I'm going to tell you something. Without my support group, you can forget it, man. Why? Because sometimes I think, Lord, I don't even see how you even use. I don't even see why you even speak to me about anything. You, what I'm saying is, getting the Word of God and say, Lord, why you even show me anything? I don't deserve nothing. Then your support group say, you got a fear of coming along. Come on now, come on now, come on, Gideon. We got the promise of God. You saved. God's doing something with you. Surely, see, they'll encourage you. We need each other. Okay, he gets down here. It says in verse 11, "And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened." Uh-oh, now the strengthening is coming in. Before, in Ephesians 6:10, before he says that you need to stand, he tells you, you got to go in the strength of the Lord. Now we're getting somewhere. And he tells you over here, he says, "Strengthen to go down to the host." Then went he down with fear. You know what that means? Then went he down, he must have started standing. You see that pattern right there in a battle. There's he's seated, arise and go. And he said, then he needs to go down. There's your walk. Then he says, I can't do anything. And that's how, well, a lot of times we get hung in gear, so to speak. The Lord said, you know what? You may need somebody else come along with you and strengthen you a little bit. be an encouragement to you, be a blessing to you. Now you get a little strength, and then you can go down and do what I already told you to do. You know what we're going to do as a church family? Because I'm going to tell you, that Bible tells you, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This world is not going to get any better. You know what? We're going to have to get better as Christians.
Amen.
We're going to have to start being more forgiving. We're going to have to start being more loving and more kind to each other along this way. Why? Because if no one else is being that way, we need to be that way. Why? The world, all they want to do is fight and fuss and carry on. The last people that needs to be doing that is the church folks. Why? Because we got something that they don't. I've got a standing that's secure in the Lord. No matter what I do, I'm going to heaven. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Okay, well, I can walk then. Well, I've got a safety net if I fall, and I'm going to fall. But if I fall 7 times, guess what I can do? I can get right back up.
Amen.
Lord, I messed up today. Lord, why'd I do that? Get back up, Chase. Go down there and talk to fear a little while. You know, sometimes you can call a brother in Christ. He don't even know why you call. Hey, man, what's going on? Not a whole lot. You just talk a whole long time. They listen. You don't realize you're just getting some therapy. You just need to hear another Bible believer's voice for a little while. Well, I get some encouragement. You know what? Some people come to church, y'all, they hurting.
Yeah.
They just need some encouragement, man. Nobody of us perfect. This is a hospital for sin-sick people. And when we get that and say, Lord, let us nothing else, get a little balm out and some ointment and help them. Because if you don't do that, I'm telling you, we can talk about walking with the Lord all day. Like, I'm walking with the Lord. You know, he's walking down there in the cool of the day. No, you weren't. You're just lying about it. Yeah, it was a dream, man. You know what people are doing? They're living the American dream while they're asleep. That's what dreamers do. They sleep.
Yeah.
The Bible says it's awake and actually live in reality and realize people are living hard lives and they need Fearers to be standing with them in the battle. And you know what we need to do? We need to do the Apostle Paul. I'll close out with this right here. Turn now to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And Paul said, hey, he's the pattern of suffering in 1 Timothy 1 verse 16. So let's see. And 2 Timothy. Let's just turn to chapter 4, and I'll quote you a couple verses for speed. But I want to see, okay, if he told us to do this, and we're telling each other to do, is there someone who actually did what they said that they were going to do and actually did what they're telling others to do? All right, if he's a pattern, what's he a pattern for? Long suffering. He told you what to do in Ephesians. We're seated, and then we need to walk, and then we need to stand. What did he do that? Okay, this man who told these Ephesians this same pattern here to serve, he said, I fought a good fight in 2 Timothy 4:7. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He died on the battlefield following the directions he gave the Ephesians. So guess what? And I know I told you to turn to 2 Timothy 4, but I'm going to read this to you right quick. He's standing in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. He says this. I'm going to turn back. He says, for the things which cause I also suffer these things. So he's a pattern of that suffering. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. That's his, he's seated up there secure. There's that before he even gets in the rest of this stuff. I know whom I believe, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. All right, there's his seated position. Then you get over here, and he's walking. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Here he is, everywhere he goes, he's suffering trouble. Look, everywhere Paul went, he got to the place, hey man, instead of going up there and looking and seeing what the church is going to look like, he said, let me go up there and check the jail out. I'll be here before too long. He's walking with the Lord as a sufferer, as a true soldier. Look, God never said this thing was going to be easy, y'all. We want things. I'm like y'all. I want things to be easy. I said, Lord, man, wouldn't it be easy every day? Just wonderful. We just, you know, I didn't have all these mental struggles I got. And some of this stuff I think, Lord, why am I even thinking this thing and all this? And guess what? He said, that's just the way it's going to be down there. Paul said, I'm suffering. But you know, he said, the word of God not bound. Where men are bound, men are in bond. The word of God not in bonds. See, there are places you think I can't go in, and with the Word of God can get in places you can't get into. There's places in those hearts that you can't get to, but just keep quoting the Word, keep preaching the Word, keep living the Word, and the Word of God will get down in those places that you can't get down into, and it'll change the hearts. Why? It's not for you to change the heart. That's God's business. It's for you to do what His Word says daily.
Then He says over there, in 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17, you're going to see Him standing now. He's been seated. He's walking. Now He's going to be standing. When you read over there, He said verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Man, He's getting close to the Lord now. See, He's walking is a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Why? He's forgiven others. Here they are just completely leaving Him and everything else. He said, God, don't even lay it to the charge. Praying for his enemies. You ever pray for people that don't like you, talk bad about you, rough on you, don't like you, don't like you preaching, don't like you teaching? I just don't like the way he puts it. Well, Paul said, I know I'll be rude in speech. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Strengthened by his might, Ephesians 5 verse 10. And guess what? Standing against the wiles of the devil. Why? How do you know he's standing against the wiles of the devil? He said that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know what we're going to have to do, folks? You're going to have to realize you are secure in the Lord. And if we're going to walk right, it's going to be walking from a seated, secure position, doing what God says to do, the way God says to do it, and then you'll be able to stand. Because if there's ever been a time to stand, now's the time to stand. We got a world now, and I don't have to tell y'all, y'all already know, we got a world that's coming against children. They're trying to get the children to go against the Word of God and go with the wiles of the devil. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take us staying with the stuff and sticking to the book, sticking to the Word of God when no one else wants to do it. Look, the very fact that people don't want preaching and they're not going to endure sound doctrine lets you know that if nobody else does, let's stand. If we don't do anything else, let's stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Then we can say at the end, I've finished my course. I've fought the good fight. I hope every one of you at the end of this thing, whenever we check out of here, through death or the rapture, I hope every one of you are able to say, Lord, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I hope you do. Man, wouldn't that be a blessing? Let's close out. Lord, help us. Father, I just pray that, Lord, something was said that was a help tonight. And Lord, I pray that this word would just get down in the hearts, Lord, and through the remainder of the week, we'd do something for you, Lord, in the days